Chapter 19. McAnally's pub is on the bottom floor of a building not too far from my office. Chicago being what it is, essentially a giant swamp with a city sinking into it, the building had settled over the years, and to enter the pub, you had to come in the door and take a couple of steps down. It's a low-ceilinged room, or at least it's always felt that way to me, and it offers the added attraction of several whirling ceiling fans at my eye level just as I come in the door. And after stepping down into the room, they're still uncomfortably close to my head. There's a sign Max got hanging up at the door that reads, "Accorded Neutral Ground." It means that the place was supposed to be a no-combat zone, under the terms laid out in the Unseelie Accords, the most recent and influential set of principles agreed upon by most of the various nations of the supernatural maybe 10 or 12 years ago. By the terms of the Accords, there's no fighting allowed between members of opposing nations in the bar, and we're not supposed to attempt to provoke anybody either. If things do get hostile, the Accords say you have to take it outside or risk censure by the signatory nations. More importantly, at least to me, Mac was a friend. When I came to his place to eat, I considered myself a guest, and he my host. I'd abide by his declared neutrality out of simple respect, but it was good to know that the Accords were there in the background. Not every member of the supernatural community is as polite and neighborly as me. Mac's place is one big room. There are a baker's dozen of thick wooden support pillars spread through the room, each of them carved with figures from old world nursery tales. There's a bar with 13 stools, 13 tables spread irregularly throughout the room, and the whole place has an informal, comfortable, asymmetrical sort of feel to it. I came through the door, armed for bear, and projecting an attitude to match. I bore my staff in my left hand, and I'd slipped my new blasting rod, a shaft of wood 2 feet long and as thick as my two thumbs together, through my belt. My shield bracelet hung on my left hand, my force ring was on my right, and Mouse walked on my right side on his lead, looking huge and sober and alert. A couple of people inside looked at my face and immediately tried to look like they had no interest in me. I wasn't in a bad mood, but I wanted to look that way. Since the war with the Red Court had gotten rolling, I had learned the hard way that predators, human and otherwise, sense fear and look for weakness. So I walked into the place like I was hoping to kick someone in the neck, because it was a hell of a lot easier to discourage potential predators ahead of time than it was to slug it out with them when they followed me out afterward. I crossed the room to the bar, and Mac nodded at me. Mac was a lean man, somewhere between 30 and 50. He wore his usual dark clothes and spotless white apron, while simultaneously managing all the bartending and a big wood-burning grill where he cooked various dishes for the customers. The summer heat was fairly well blunted by the shade and the fans and the partially subterranean nature of the room, but there were still dark spots of sweat on his clothes and beading along the bare skin of his scalp. Mac knew what the tough guy face was about, and it clearly didn't bother him. He nodded to me as I sat down on a stool. "Mac, you got any cold beer back there somewhere?" He gave me an unamused look. I leaned my staff on the bar, lifted both hands in a placating gesture, and said, "Kidding, but tell me you got cold lemonade. It's a zillion degrees out there." He answered with a glass of lemonade, cooled with his patented lemonade ice cubes, so that you could drink it cold and not have it get watered down, all at the same time. Mac is pretty much a genius when it comes to drinks, and his steak sandwiches should be considered some kind of national resource. "Business?" he asked me. I nodded. "Meeting with Fix." Mac grunted and went out to a corner table, one with a clear view of the door. He nudged it out a bit from the wall, polished it with a cloth, and straightened the chairs around it. I nodded my thanks to him and settled down at the table with my lemonade. I didn't have long to wait. A couple of minutes before noon, the summer night opened the door and came in. Fix had grown, and I mean that literally. He'd been about 5'3", maybe an inch or so higher. Now he had towered up to at least 5'9". He'd been a wiry little guy with white blonde hair, and most of that remained true. The wire had thickened to lean cable, but the shock of spikes he'd worn as a hairdo had gotten traded in on a more typical cut for fairy nobles, a shoulder-length do. Fix hadn't been a good-looking guy, and the extra height and muscle and the hair did absolutely nothing to change that. What had changed was his previous manner, which had been approximately equal parts nervous and cheerful. The summer night projected confidence and strength. They shone from him like light from a star. When he opened the door, the dim shadows retreated somewhat, and a whispering breeze that smelled of pine and honeysuckle rolled through the room. The air around him did something to the light, throwing it back cleaner, more pure, more fierce than it had been before it touched him. Fix wasn't putting on a face like I had. This was what he had become. The summer night, mortal champion of the Seelie Court. A thunderstorm in blue jeans and a green cotton shirt. His gaze went first to Mac, and he gave the barkeep a polite little bow of respect. Then he turned to me, grinned, and nodded. Harry. Fix, I said. Been a while. You've grown. He looked down at himself and looked briefly like the flustered young man I had first met. It sort of snuck up on me. Life has a way of doing that, I agreed. I hope you don't mind. Someone else wanted to speak to you, too.